Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to GSI Technology's second quarter fiscal 2018 results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session. At that time, we will provide instructions for those interested in entering the queue for the Q&A. Before we begin today's call, the company has requested that I read the following safe harbor statement. The matters discussed in this conference call may include forward-looking statements regarding future events and the future performance of GSI Technology that involve risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. These risks and uncertainties are described in the company's Form 10-K filed with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Additionally, I have also been asked to advise you that this conference call is being recorded today, October 26, 2017, at the request of GSI Technology. Hosting the call today is Lee-Lean Shu, the company's Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer. With him are Douglas Schirle, Chief Financial Officer, and Didier Lasserre, the Vice President of Sales. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Shu. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us. Today, we reported second quarter net revenue of $9.6 million and gross margin of 50.4%. Both were below the range of guidance that we provided earlier in the quarter. During the fiscal second quarter, we continued to see slowness in our primary telecommunication and networking markets. That said, we remain very excited about our product development and marketing efforts for our newest market segments, our high-performance Sigma Quad radiation-hardened SRAM products targeted at aerospace and defense applications, and our patented in-place associated computing technology, or APU. We now have packaged parts of our Sigma Quad radiation-hardened SRAM product. Once we finish processing these parts, they will be available to ship as revenue-generating samples during the third quarter of fiscal 2018. Starting this week, we are beginning the qualification process for our MIL-PRF38535 Class V equivalent product for shipment in calendar 2018. We are on schedule to complete the design of our initial APU product by the end of January 2018, and we continue to be focused on expanding our overall market position in the high-speed SRAM and the low-latency DRAM segments, complemented by our RedHawk SRAM product. We continue to receive inquiry about our patented in-place associated computing technology and the intellectual property that is under development, which focus on large emerging markets such as big data applications, computer vision, and cybersecurity. At the recent in-memory computing summit, we presented how the APU is well-suited to natural language processing. We were also recently invited to make a technical presentation on the APU at one of the leading aerospace research and development centers, and were also invited to present the APU architecture at Stanford University as a part of their EE Computer System Colloquium. As a reminder, we obtained our APU technology through our acquisition of Micromonu in November 2015. This technology is for application in evolving new markets such as big data, including machine learning and deep convolutional neural networks, computer vision, and cybersecurity. We currently hold 16 U.S. patents and a number of pending patents for our in-place associated computing technology. The technology changed the concept of computing from serial data processing, where data is moved back and forth from the processor to the memory, to parallel data processing, computation, and the search directly in the main processing array. While still in development, we are currently marketing new product sets based upon this technology to a variety of users. And we believe we will have an active base of potential customers once we bring this new product to market. This technology will greatly improve the computation and the response times that are currently and will continue to be required in a variety of big data applications. Overall, we remain on track to execute to our primary business objective to bring our Red Hat products to market and completing our APU design in the very near future. We anticipate both products to bring us into growing market segments and broaden our customer base in calendar 2018.
We reported a net loss of $1.7 million, or 8 cents per diluted share, on net revenues of $9.6 million for the second quarter of fiscal 2018, compared to net income of $626,000, or 3 cents per diluted share, on net revenues of $13.4 million for the second quarter of fiscal 2017, and a net loss of $1.5 million, or 7 cents per diluted share, on net revenues of $10.7 million for the first quarter of fiscal 2018, and a June 30th, 2017. Gross margin was 50.4% compared to 55% in the prior year period and 52.4% in the first quarter. Second quarter fiscal 2018 operating loss was $1.8 million compared to an operating loss of $1.5 million in the prior quarter and operating income of $380,000 a year ago. Total operating expenses in the second quarter of fiscal 2018 were $6.7 million compared to $7 million in the second quarter of fiscal 2017 and $7.1 million in the preceding first quarter. Research and development expenses were $4.2 million compared to $4.3 million in the prior year period and $4.3 million in the preceding quarter. Selling, general, and administrative expenses were comparable year over year at $2.5 million compared to $2.7 million in the quarter ended September 30, 2016, and down sequentially from $2.8 million in the preceding quarter. Total second quarter pre-tax stock-based compensation expense was $508,000, compared to $478,000 in the prior quarter and $487,000 in the comparable quarter a year ago. Second quarter fiscal 2018 net income included interest and other income of $103,000 and a tax provision of $49,000, compared to $92,000 in interest and other income and a tax benefit of $154,000 a year ago. In the preceding quarter, net loss included interest and other income of $98,000 and a tax provision of $81,000. In the second quarter of fiscal 2018, sales to Nokia were $2.8 million, or 29% of net revenues, compared to $4.5 million, or 42.3% of net revenues in the prior quarter, and $5.7 million, or 42.8% of net revenues in the same period a year ago. Direct and indirect sales to Cisco Systems were $506,000, or 5.2% of net revenues, compared to $852,000, or 8% of net revenues in the prior year, in the prior quarter, and $936,000, or 7% of net revenues in the same period a year ago. Military defense sales were 24.4% of shipments, compared to 24.5% of shipments in the prior quarter and 16.1% of shipments in the comparable period a year ago. Sigma Quad sales were 39.4% of shipments, compared to 51.1% in the prior quarter and 57.2% in the second quarter of fiscal 2017. At September 30, 2017, we had $49.6 million in cash equivalents and short-term investments, $14.6 million in long-term investments, $56.3 million in working capital, no debt, and stockholders' equity of $85.6 million. Looking forward to the third quarter of fiscal 2018, we currently expect net revenues to be in the range of $10 million to $11 million. We expect gross margin of approximately 53% to 55% in the third quarter. Operator, at this point, we'll open the call to Q&A.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, that's star one to ask a question. We'll take our first question from Kurt Karamandis from Carl and Henning Incorporated.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Kurt.
First question, on the RadHard, can you maybe just talk about level of interest if that's changed since last quarter? And are we looking at any revenues? I'm going to use calendar quarter. I think most people probably understand that. Any revenues in calendar Q4, or is it mainly starting in calendar Q1 of 18? And what are we maybe looking at roughly dollar-wise in calendar Q1 if that's when it starts?
Hey, Kurt, CDA. Yes, there is a level of interest, a high level of interest in both the original offering that we have, which is the 288 megabit Sigma Quad family, and also I think I mentioned in the last call that we were also accelerating the introduction of our 144 megabit Sync Burst and NBT device as well for a little bit different application within that sector. So the 288 megabit is the family that Leland mentioned that we had packages in-house, and then starting this week, we will be starting the qualification for the full production Class V equivalent. On that family, we are expecting a handful of parts engineering samples being sold in this quarter. So the answer is yes. So the level of interest is still there. There has been some freezing in some of the funds from IRAD, which has pushed out some of the anticipated revenues from that family. So we were expecting a little bit more this quarter, but because of those funds being frozen temporarily, it has pushed out some of the revenue. So we will have somewhere, if I were to guess, about $100,000 in revenue this quarter, and then ramping starting the first calendar quarter of next year.
What are you thinking in that quarter?
It's hard to tell. We're still dependent on funding. It's a little bit different model than we're used to with our classic telecom and classic military customers now. This requires a lot of funding from the government, and it's not clear if the funding, how much is going to be released for the calendar first quarter or how much is going to actually fall into the following quarter. So it's hard for me to predict at this point.
Okay, that's fair. And then just overall on the stages of the APU unit, you know, it's taken about, let's say, 2 years to design it and then to review. Is that, what's the time period when end of January you got the design done, then it goes to TSMC? Can you talk about the timeline it takes to manufacture the chip and then from there kind of what you do if you test it and that kind of time frame now that we're kind of getting to those times?
Yeah, once we release the design to TSMC, it normally takes around 6 to 8 weeks to generate silicon. So once we generate the silicon, we probably take another, you know, few weeks, 2-3 weeks to do the packaging. After that, we can start testing. This product we will be sending the unit out to the car instead of a package part. So hopefully we'll do another testing to put a part into the car, and hopefully if everything work out well, we should be able to send out the car hopefully by the mid or third quarter next calendar year.
Yeah, so Kurt, we're still expecting to get those initial package parts back sometime end of July or probably around the middle of April at the latest. So there's been no change currently in our expectations and what we previously talked about regarding that product.
End of March, Doug.
End of March.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
March.
March or in the middle of the April time frame.
So how about the difficulty, you know, as we is the design by far more difficult than the manufacturing and the testing, or how do you think about, you know, have we climbed the mountain when we got to the end of the design and then its chances of success are better when that's done? Or how do you think about the three phases and difficulty?
Well, of course, the design, we don't have any learning curve before. This is the very first chip we try to design it. So, of course, there are some certain learning curves. And once the silicon come out, there's a debugging process. Again, that's also the very first time we are targeting the debugging testing process for the product. So, so you will come down to how well the design is, and hopefully we have a very thorough design, and it's going to be less debugging process. But anyway, overall, I would think sometime second half of 2018, we shall have a product out for customers to do the testing for the forward development.
Okay, great. And then will you have these presentations you've got available online? It sounds like you've got an aerospace one coming and then another one. Or if they're not live, can you get them on the website recorded or to some extent?
Well, I know that the presentation out at Standard at Stanford will be recorded, and I believe that they're going to give us a copy of that. So yeah, we can try to get that available on the website somehow.
No, actually, if you go to Stanford University EE380, that's the EE Computer System Colloquium. If you search for Stanford University EE380, you will see the agenda, and you can get the webcast from there.
Okay.
It'll
be good to have it on the website, too, yeah.
But the others were specific meetings with customers. The aerospace one, the DDAs talk about that's just a meeting. It's not necessarily a presentation, but there was a presentation that was made that in-memory computing seminar that we were presenting at this week. I don't know if that was recorded or not, or if there's anything available regarding that.
Okay, no problem. Finally, I apologize. Dr. Akarib talked about in January that there wasn't really going to be any major developments this year in kind of its APU area, which I have not seen any. He seems to be on track on that. What is he thinking about 2018? Does he still view your position as a top position and a pretty major advancement compared to current products?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we still believe that we're significantly better from search perspective and aspects of search. And then, you know, Leland and DDA are more technical than I am, but when we look at this product that and the parts it's competing against, this is significantly more encompassing in terms of what it can do. So, you know, we made this one presentation on natural language processing. The more and more we get into it and more customers we talk to, we see there's a much greater need in a lot of areas than we originally anticipated for this part. So, if anything, I think we would say that we're seeing more opportunities than we would have initially expected 2 years ago when we got into this.
Right. And, Kurt, let me add to that. So, you know, we've been flying kind of underneath the radar until we actually see silicon, and then we'll certainly be more aggressive in promoting the device. But the promotion we're doing now, is, as we've talked about, is some of these shows. And just the show that we had this week, as Doug mentioned, the in-memory computing, we had a few companies that are large companies approach us after we presented and wanted to have much further in-depth conversations with us because, in fact, one of the companies, the gentlemen there were highly technical, and they were slated from their company to be looking for technologies along what we're doing, and they had not found anything that remotely touched what we were doing, so they were very excited. So certainly, again, we've been a bit under the radar, but these shows have gotten us out into the technical community, and we have, you know, a lot of interest out there.
Great. Sounds good. Look forward to next quarter.
Thanks, Kurt.
Great. Thank you, Kurt.
And as a reminder, that's star one on your telephone keypad to queue for the questions. And next we'll hear from Jeff Bernstein with Cowen.
Yeah, hi. Just wanted to follow up along those lines on the APU. So have you guys done emulation already on the part?
We don't have a hardware emulation, but we do have a software model for the APU. So actually, we some academic, you know, the university, actually, the professor was very interested in getting our software model so they can start simulating.
Yeah, okay.
We do have interest in that.
So you don't have any kind of new metrics in terms of you've talked in the past about what you thought the improvement in processing speed was. So that hasn't really changed.
Correct.
Gotcha. Talk a little bit about the software side of this. I guess I'm assuming that people are going to have to program things differently in order to take advantage of the parallelism. Are you going to supply that software? And are there any new software tools that need to be written? For this, and how long will that take, and how do you think that'll play out?
No, we are the pretty big king of a software group. Basically, what we will do is we will do a library, okay? So people can still use the top level language to call the function of the chip supposed to do. Basically, it's transparent to them. They can say multiply or addition, like they use in the typical programming, and underneath it will be the function we build, so they can use that as a library. We will build a common function library like linear algebra, search, and KNN, that commonly use a function as a library to go with the chip.
Great. So when you ship the cards, then people should be able to start using them right away.
Correct.
Right. And Chip, let me add to that. So as Leland said, we have a large team that's going to be writing the libraries for us. Obviously, we're going to write all the major tasks and functions, but there will always be other libraries that are needed. Leland mentioned earlier that recently we had met with a leading aerospace company about the APU, and they certainly wanted to learn about the APU, the physical, the hardware portion of it, but the other part of the meeting was talking about the software. So we're going to be getting back with them to start training their folks to be able to program their own libraries, or write, I should say, their own libraries. And we're anticipating that a lot of folks, especially in the government and military sectors, will be writing the libraries for our parts. And what's nice about that is that the majority of them will be available for all users. And what I mean by that is obviously some aspects of the government, whatever they write, they want to keep in-house and not share. But the majority of the libraries that will be written by these entities will be available for use by all users. So, the nice thing about getting this board out of the card that Leland said is that once we get the cards out, we're going to put them in not only academia's hands, but also some of these other folks that will start writing the libraries for us that will help expand, the software portion.
Gotcha. Okay. And then I think I missed when you were going through revenue concentrations, Nokia, and can you just talk about anything that's going on there in terms of some of their new products and where you guys think you stand?
Sure. So, we've talked about the last couple of quarters that they've been having some inventory correction. They took a hard correction this past quarter on the older systems, the ones that use our 72 megabit SQ3. Certainly the forecast they give us for this quarter shows them coming back up. Now, as far as the new systems, as I mentioned in the past, I don't think it was the last call, it was a couple calls ago, we talked about a midlife kicker platform based off of the same core router and edge router that we're shipping our 72 meg in. So that midlife kicker will be using a 144 megabit SQ3. So this past quarter, we started shipping some of those. It wasn't super high volume yet, but we're seeing that forecast slowly coming up. And so that's really the kind of the next generation for us is that midlife kicker on the Nokia 7750 and 7950 platforms.
Great. Okay. So you are in there, and we'll have some business from there going forward.
On the midlife kickers, that's correct. Yeah, and it's already started. It's mostly prototype-ish quantities, hundreds of pieces a quarter, but that hopefully will ramp.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
And as a final reminder, that's *1 for questions, and we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal. Uh, I show no further questions in the queue, gentlemen.
Thank you all for joining us. We look forward to speaking with you again when we report our third quarter fiscal 2018 results. Also, for those attending, we will be presenting at upcoming 10th Annual ALD Micro Main Event Investment Conference, Los Angeles, on December 6th. This presentation will be webcast as well. Thank you.
And that concludes today's conference call. Thank you for joining.